Welcome to the Starzology Astrology Podcast. I'm your host, Arwen O'Neill, and today I'm here with my friend Katya.
Hello, Arwen. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. Today we're going to be talking about the Mars conjunct Neptune aspect, and just wanted to set sort of an expectation here because we have two different sort of types of podcasts that we do, and our Wednesday episodes tend to be more of like an orientation towards a beginner or anyone who's interested in astrology, and we try to really make the language accessible so that they can grasp the concepts without throwing a lot of lingo at them or getting into really advanced and confusing topics that they might just kind of shut down their brain and go, no, this is too much. So
thank you so much for that. Because exactly. Is it because I keep asking you questions about the Sunday episodes and you're like, we should talk about this?
Partly, but also partly because people who I share that I'm doing a podcast with often are not astrologers, mm-hmm. but they're interested. And mm-hmm. this is kind of the foot in the door. Like I say, listen to the Wednesday episodes to get started. And then once you understand more, then, you know, subscribe and listen to all of them. But if you just want to kind of dip your toe in, the Wednesday episodes are really accessible. And, you know, honestly, because you're not an astrologer, but you're mm-hmm. curious. You're astrology curious.
Yes, very much so.
And so are a lot of people. So that's what we wanted to get across in our Wednesday episodes. And not all Wednesday episodes, of course, we do mix it up a bit. Mm-hmm. But if you see that it's an episode between myself and Katya, it's going to be more geared towards the beginner or the astrology curious. Mm-hmm. So there we go. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about the aspect of Mars conjunct Neptune. And we're going to talk about what it's like when Neptune transits, because we always talk about the outer planet transiting the closer planet. Mm-hmm. So it's when Neptune conjuncts Mars in your chart, which isn't going to happen for everyone because Neptune takes 144 years to go all the way around the zodiac, right? It spends 12 years in each sign. So if you have like Mars in Taurus, for example, mm-hmm. 5 degrees of Taurus, like I have, you're not going to see Neptune come across your chart, you know, maybe ever, or yeah. but if you do, it's going to be once in your lifetime. Right. So it's going to be something that you want to know, and you will look forward to it with dread, maybe, depending.
Yeah.
And
how significant is this? Like, are we missing out, or is this like the good thing we missed out? Like, what would, do you know?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say this is one to like be like, woohoo, yay, it's coming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in fact, I'm going to read a couple of excerpts from Robert Hand's wonderful book, Planets in Transit. Mm-hmm. But basically, well, so how often does this happen? Mars moves around the zodiac in 2 years. So every 2 years, someone will be born with this natally in their chart, but then mm-hmm. Neptune takes a long time to go around the zodiac, so blah, blah, blah. But anyway, this effect is about being motivated to either impact the world through your creativity and empathy in the most positive sense, but it can also blur the boundaries of your ambition because Neptune is about blurring boundaries. It's about illusion, disillusionment, glamour. It's about watery diffusing of boundaries mm. and edges. And that's great for, you know, glamour and imagination and mm. empathy. But it's not so great for getting things done, which is what Mars is about. So mm-hmm. Mars is about ambition and drive and action. And obviously, it's not going to be a great combination with something that wants to blur the boundaries and kind of make everything fuzzy and liquid.
So does it dilute the Martian energy, like making you less assertive and more passive?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the effect will last for a few days in the world. But if you are actually having a Neptune transit to your natal Mars, it's going to be probably a couple of weeks where you're going to feel the effects
oh,
of this.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big transit. So Robert Hand, in his wonderful book, Planets in Transit, shout out, mm-hmm. Says that when Neptune conjuncts Mars, you could be subject to discouragement and malaise. Your energy level will be low, and it can be hard to accomplish anything in your own interests. You may also become more vulnerable to infections, and you should avoid using drugs either recreationally or prescription drugs at this time because you can really have like unexpected effects from them. They can affect you more strongly. Oh. You can be unusually sensitive to foreign poisons or even just actual prescription drugs.
Oh, wow.
So you want to be careful with exercise because your energy levels are unpredictable and low, and you can injure yourself because you think you're doing what you normally would do,
yeah.
but you're just a little bit kind of diffused and just not up to par.
Okay.
And it can also take the effect of detaching your consciousness so you can't focus as well. You may make mistakes and others may hold you accountable for things that you think you can accomplish, but then because of Neptune, you are unable to. So kind of cut your losses and disengage is Robert Hand's advice, because any, you know, effects from the activities that you are unable to accomplish as you normally would can have lasting impacts and can damage your reputation with others and damage the trust that you will have built up with others.
Wow.
Yeah. And it says you may not be aware of it, but you may be acting dishonestly. And so you should avoid anything where you have to build trust with people at this time, because you might unwittingly lead them astray. And it can feel like you're unlucky, or you're just trying to get ahead and act vigorously and actively and energetically, and just kind of failing and dissipating into nothingness.
That sounds really confusing.
Yeah.
And just to talk about Planets in Transit,
oh, yeah,
by Robert Hand. So I'm holding what looks like a giant brick,
yeah,
in my hand. Like, this is like a couple inches thick.
It's a massive book. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's a massive, wonderful book. It goes into like literally every planet combination,
yeah,
and every planet through the houses. So if you are interested in astrology, we're going to be actually doing an episode coming up, Allison and I, about the five basic astrology books and the five advanced astrology books that we both recommend. So each of us will come with 10 books and it'll be a big episode. So
amazing.
Looking forward to that. That is absolutely going to be one of my top.
I'm so stoked.
Yeah, it's a wonderful
book. I have
book.
Far too many questions, and I feel like if I just read these things, 99% of them would be answered, but maybe
right,
translated better by you.
Aw, well, thank you. Robert Hand is one of the OGs. I mean,
yeah.
I say that, I don't say that lightly. He is a genius, and he is, I mean, this is really, it's the Bible of transits.
Amazing.
It really is.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah.
And so back to Mars conjunct Neptune. Are we prone to idealistic tendencies? Like where?
It can definitely make you more idealistic. And,
yeah,
and like now let's talk about what it's like in the birth chart, because that is probably one of the best keywords for this conjunction in the natal chart, is that these people tend to be idealistic, principled, penetrating, and passionate. They can be inclined to overstep other people's boundaries without realizing it though, because when you have a conjunction, the energies of the two planets are combined. So you have Mars and Neptune, but they're acting as one, which is really awkward because they're such different energies. And of course, it can depend on what sign it's in. Like if it's in Pisces, for example, you've already got, you know, you've already got trouble with your Mars in Pisces being, it's not a natural place for it. But, you know, Neptune is the ruler of Pisces, so Neptune is going to be stronger in that pairing. So that's going to be a very specific type of person. Whereas if you have Neptune and, you know, conjunct Mars in like Libra or something, it's going to create a very different effect.
And just asking for a friend, how about like Taurus?
Right. Well, Neptune hasn't been in Taurus for quite some time. The last time Neptune was in Taurus was 1889 to 18 something else. So we would not know anyone with Neptune in Taurus.
Okay.
And the next time it's going to be in Taurus is 2039. So it's, you know, coming up, but not anything to be worried about. And when that happens, you and everyone who has their sun in Taurus will have a Neptune sun conjunction.
Oh.
So that's something, you know, definitely to look for, but not what we're talking about today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll bank that for another episode.
Right. And since I actually have Mars in Taurus,
yeah,
in 2039, I will have a Neptune Mars conjunction. And so I'll have to, you know, be careful not to,
yeah, put in your calendar,
do any weird,
yeah,
drugs or you,
yeah,
know, yeah, lie to people about investment opportunities.
So if you're lacking motivation and you have a tendency towards escapism, if you can just remember this conversation that you had like 17 years prior,
exactly,
and be like, aha, that
is
why.
That makes sense. Exactly. Put it in your calendar, and the next whatever generation of iPhone will hopefully import all of your appointments from when you're listening to this.
But what is it great for?
Okay. So this is when it's in someone's chart.
Yeah.
These people tend to be, as I said, passionate and idealistic. They're inclined to overstep other people's boundaries in pursuit of their own goals, and their desire to merge or connect with people can make them you know, kind of inconsiderate of other people's boundaries. Neptune's effect on Mars is that it can either elevate it, and it can be used as an impetus to make the world better through their ideals.
Mm-hmm.
And they can use their action orientation to accomplish humanitarian efforts or creative efforts, because Neptune is all about creativity. It can be a beautiful extension of that, depending on how your Mars is placed. Like, so, as I said, if it's in Pisces, it's going to be difficult to use that to accomplish deep things. But mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great aspect for someone who is really interested in feeding the world, the Mother Teresa type thing, right?
Mm-hmm. So they're prone to sacrificing their own needs for others.
Right, yeah. For sure.
But that means that they can become martyrs, essentially.
Yes, it is definitely, it has a martyr aspect to it for sure. And the difficulty knowing where you begin and others end kind of thing,
uh-huh.
You can either be a torch of inspiration for others, or you can overpower them with your zealotry. And people with this aspect can sometimes become an amazing symbol for a cause, and they can blaze a trail where others fear to tread. But it can be dangerous as well, because when these energies mix, it's like fire and water or oil and some other explosive mm-hmm. compound. And it just really depends on what you put your motivation towards. Mm-hmm. So success can largely depend on how strong Mars is in your chart and what other aspects it makes. So if you have a really strong Mars where it's in Aries or something like that, it can be great, because you can just be blazing that idealistic trail and bearing a torch for other people. Or you can bring others with you down a road to ruin, depending on what you actually put your mind to.
Okay, so set boundaries.
Set boundaries, and also just be a good person, because people will believe you if you are, you know, ooh, enough of a zealot, right? And they'll follow you. And one of the celebrity examples we have later,
yes,
is a perfect illustration of the dark side of
this. I knew it. Yeah. I know where you're going with this.
Exactly. So people with this aspect in their chart really need a goal where they can be evangelists or spiritual warriors. Being able to follow your ideals as a champion is important, but it's also important to have a strong moral compass, or you can get caught up in the wrong kinds of causes, and you can dissolve into illusion or paranoia or mania. And through the sheer force of your charisma and the power of your beliefs, you can bring others along with you. If you are interested in Neptune, an amazing book is Liz Green's The Astrological Neptune and the Quest for Redemption. She's a brilliant psychological astrologer from the middle of the 20th century who was very popular in the 80s and 90s when I was learning astrology. And it's well worth a read if you're interested in advanced mythological studies of astrology. So she uses a lot of ancient myths to illustrate the dynamics of Neptune, and one of them is Dionysus, the god of wine, and the great seducer. So she says Mars-Neptune aspects, like Dionysus, can be a seducer, but sometimes as a collective, we need to be seduced. The longing lies at the core of religious worship, and as well at the catharsis of musical or theatrical performance. So we want to be swept away. We want to be swept up in a cause, or in some kind of beautiful performance that like engages our heart. And this can be a really good use of Mars Neptune. But mm-hmm. she goes on to say the dilemma lies in the integrity of the goal and how it's pursued. So Mars's innately self-centered desires, when diluted with Neptunian water, must include others if the individual's needs are to be fulfilled. Otherwise, aggression may become masked by apparent docility, and the rage that lurks beneath the surface can become the chief factor behind drug and alcohol addictions, which reflect anger and vengeance against life as much as the desire to escape, which is pretty heavy.
Yeah, that's super heavy. So Mars-Neptune blends passion and spirituality, but also confusion.
Right.
Because it seems so opposite.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's just really hard energies to actually blend successfully.
Yeah.
And Liz Green goes on to say that when a well-lit channel for your efforts can't be found, then Mars-Neptune's romantic heroism, whether political, military, scientific, or artistic, may be sought in darker waters. And she says this can also be like Charles Manson, who had the exact conjunction, compelled to play the anti-hero who destroys himself and others rather than endure the dreariness of a decent but unglamorous life.
Whoa.
I know. Yeah. It gives me chills.
Yeah. Amazing.
Right.
So a career in the healing art, spiritual guidance, music, photography, like, would that be a healthy outlet for
absolutely,
this?
Because those are all very Neptunian things, photography, healing, film, music, and even interestingly enough, surgery. because Mars is about cutting and if you, or acupuncture even, if you, right? If you combine something that's like the pointy stabby Mars thing with the healing of Neptune, you know?
So you're using your power for good, so to speak.
Exactly.
Or softening something that's sharp. No, that's not where I was going with that. But if you're already in that career, then you'd actually be able to benefit from this conjunction. But if you're not into it, or you're not in tune with your spiritual self, then there's more likely negative aspects that will come out of it.
Yeah, like the misuse of that energy, because it's a really strong aspect. It just needs to be channeled correctly. Like, it's going to do something, right? It's just a matter of where you're pointing it.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely going to be a powerful, you know, and of course we've talked about orbs in the past.
Yeah.
But like, it depends on how strong it is in your chart. If you have like a just kind of a weak conjunction, it might not be as much to worry about. But as Liz Green said about Charles Manson, it's the exact conjunction. And it was in Virgo too, which is a very kind of not passionate, not... I mean, it's helpful, but it's not empathetic per se. So there can be a clinicality to Virgo, and also to Libra, you know, as just an example of another one that's an air sign. Aquarius would be another one where you'd have a very dispassionate person. And so when you have Mars conjunct Neptune in Aquarius, it might be like the kind of person who's really good at surgery or maybe military strategy and not a very empathetic or maybe even moral person. And I'm not, you know, trying to paint everyone with this brush, but just kind of trying to tie in archetypes to paint a picture. So you'd want to, for example, if you're a parent and your child has this aspect, you want to really, you know, make sure that they have a moral grounding so that when they do grow up and want to use their seductive powers, you point them in a direction where they use that for good, as opposed to manipulating people or leading people astray in some harmful way.
I get the sense that this is so easy to get out of hand that sometimes just having that, what is your goal? What is your objective? Or what is your mantra, or who's your confidant, or who, like, just have a reminder of what is your goal, because it can go awry really quickly.
Yeah.
And perhaps, you know, as you get more and more passionate and confused, going back to that, like, why are you doing what you're doing? What is your why?
Right.
Maybe could keep you on track.
Yeah.
In a more positive way, or at least successfully, as you said
for
earlier.
Sure.
And speaking about paint, are you able to paint, for the visual learners, me, so what you mean by Mars conjunct Neptune? Like, what does that look like?
Oh, yeah.
In the planets? Or
yeah, exactly. So if we're, obviously, we're going to be on Earth. That's
most
that's
of
our
us,
perspective.
Yeah.
We use the perspective of Earth as our grounding. So we know that obviously everything moves around the sun in the solar system, but since we're using our perspective on Earth to talk about these things, that's why we have retrograde periods. If you're on the sun, you're not going to see any retrograde periods because everything is just moving around you, right? But since we're on Earth, we're seeing everything from a perspective that isn't exactly what's happening, but that's what's affecting us. So Mars is very close to the Earth in comparison with Neptune. So we're going to see it go through the same part of the sky every 2 years. So if we're looking at the Taurus part of the sky, for example, from Earth, we're going to see Mars every 2 years go beep, 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 beep. And then it's going to, you know, all the way around. And then it's going to light up that little Taurus segment for a month or for, sorry, a couple of months every 2 years. So Neptune is going way, way, way farther out. And it's just zigzagging around in its slightly elliptical orbit. Way,
okay, yeah,
way
pardon
farther.
My ignorance, but this
no,
is
exactly.
all in clockwise order, or like
geez, let's say it is.
Yeah, okay.
Now I'm suddenly not sure if it's clockwise, but for the purposes of this painting the picture, so we're looking at the Taurus section, and we're seeing Mars come every 2 years, and then Neptune is way farther out. So if we're like sitting there waiting for it, we're going to be waiting 144 years before it comes around again to that Neptune spot. But when that Taurus spot, but when it does, it's going to be huge, not from our perspective, but it's going to be way behind Mars and it's going to, Mars is going to overlap it like an eclipse.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what the conjunction looks like from Earth, is that we see Mars in Taurus, and then way, way, way behind it, this little tiny, not even visible to the naked eye, but for, you know, telescopes. And if you're looking at an astrological chart, you're going to see it in that same exact spot.
Yeah. And I guess to add another layer to this, this is not 2D.
Yeah.
and that there are just so many more aspects to it. But yeah, thank you for explaining that.
Yeah.
So it definitely gave me a visual. And I'm wondering how off I am with my visual, but this is helpful.
Well, it's interesting because conjunctions, what does that mean? A conjunction is basically like an eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
An eclipse is a conjunction of the sun and the moon, an exact conjunction.
Got it. I never heard it that way. And
right.
That totally makes sense.
Why would anyone say it that way?
Yeah,
but yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's what it is.
Thank you.
Yeah, totally. So let's get to our celebrities.
what I was waiting for.
So we've talked about Charles Manson a great deal. And if you are curious about Charles Manson, Tom O'Neill wrote a book called Chaos, Charles Manson, the CIA, and the Secret History of the 60s. I highly recommend it. It's a wonderful book. If you are curious about these things, it was written very recently, but he did the research for 20 years. And it's got to do with MKUltra and the acid experiments that the CIA did, and Charles Manson, and it's brilliant and really super interesting. I am fascinated with that era in history and all of that stuff. So this would be a good way to explore the dark side of Mars and Neptune. Let's talk about the lighter side.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrities. Lady Gaga.
Oh.
Yeah, Lady Gaga has the conjunction in Capricorn. And I'm going to talk about the what sign they're in this time, because it's super interesting, because, you know, it obviously makes a huge difference in how those energies are expressed.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Lopez, and she has it in Sagittarius and Scorpio because they're conjunct, but they're just right next to each other, and one is in the next sign. John Lennon had the conjunction in Libra and Virgo, and Yoko Ono had it in Virgo.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting that they both had it, and they were, you know, this wonderful couple. Ryan Gosling has the conjunction in Sagittarius.
I was going to say they're all singers, but no.
Nope.
Unless, I don't know, something. Actually,
oh, he does sing.
Does sing.
The Ken song.
Yes. Yeah. It's not just Ken.
No, it's not just Ken.
Okay, still counts.
Yeah, totally counts. Napoleon.
Was he a singer?
No. I mean, I don't know, maybe.
In the shower?
Yeah, maybe.
If he showered.
I don't think he liked to shower that
much. I don't think so either. Was it Josephine that he's like, don't shower,
it
don't
was.
Bathe.
Yeah.
I want your feminine musk in my nostrils or something.
I'm a Virgo and I'm just cringing to hear that. But he had the conjunction in Virgo as well, which is interesting. So comparing Napoleon to Charles Manson is probably a fool's errand. But and of course, Yoko Ono as well in Virgo. It's very different expressions depending on your... So it's very important where you put your energies, right?
Yeah,
that's the key takeaway here. And Bill Clinton has the conjunction in Libra, and Richard Branson has the conjunction in Libra. So
neat.
Yeah,
cool
time. Yeah, very influential, and really is important where you put your energy, because people will follow.
Yeah, and these are strong people.
Yeah,
they're quite influential. And mostly singers. Mostly.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for that. And, well, I mean, Neptune is a very musical planet. It has a lot to do with this, like the Dionysus thing, wine, women, and song, right? There's a lot of romanticism and illusion and glamour.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the words that Liz Green uses a lot in her Neptune book, is glamour.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. I wouldn't have connected
the two. Neptune's the glamour planet.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
I respect it.
Totally. So that's Mars conjunct Neptune.
Thank you. That was very informative. And you definitely painted a really great picture. And with the celebrity examples, I feel like I will remember this more. And I'm a bit on the fence about it, in that it comes on every 144 years. That I wonder if I'll ever think about this ever again in my life.
Well, this is where it's like, if you know someone with that aspect in their chart, that's where it comes in handy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Save that for the next party here.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone own up to it? Yeah. So anyway, thanks so much for joining me, and thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for having me, Arwin. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for getting this far through the episode. I just want to take a moment to tell you about the two main options of my astrology services. So the first one is coaching. If you are an aspiring astrologer, and by that I mean someone who's perhaps a hobbyist astrologer or someone who's learning astrology or a student, or you've got a few books and you've been doing it for a while, but perhaps you need a little bit of help to bring it all together, then maybe getting some astrological coaching from me would be the answer for you. The astrology coaching I offer is a one-hour session on Zoom, and it's tailored to answer your particular questions. For example, if you have issues with natal chart readings, we can go there. Or if you're having problems working with your forecasting, we can go there. Or even basic astrology stuff, or even getting yourself organized for your astrology business. The idea is that astrological coaching will answer your particular questions. It's tailored specifically to you and where you are in your astrological journey. And I'm happy to help you out with some guidance about how you can get going, what to focus on, and what to dismiss. So that would be the astrological coaching for people trying to learn astrology. The second astrological service I offer is consultations. So this is for someone who perhaps doesn't know anything about astrology, but they just want to have their chart read or get their chart done. Call it what you will. So once more, this is a one-hour consultation over Zoom. I will interpret your chart, tell you about the main features, tell you about where the energy is flowing, and all the rest of what is entailed in a thorough natal chart interpretation. I can also add in some forecasting in there too, bearing in mind we only have 1 hour. So just in summary, I've got coaching for people who want to learn astrology, and I've got consultations for those who want to get an astrology reading done. I'm Alison Price from starsology.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.